And we're going to, of course, next week, Lord willing, we're going to have an introduction on the book of 2 Samuel. But if you look there in 1 Samuel, I'll get myself there. And almost here, there it goes. Chapter 31st, okay. So look at verse 6 of our, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture here, but look at verse 36. I'd like to take the sound out of my electronics so they don't surprise me during the message. It happened several times where we have an unwanted person here electronically that sometimes starts talking to me, and I don't particularly care about her. But anyway, look at verse 6. It says, "So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men, that same day together." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the book of 1 Samuel and the stories and examples that we learn here. And I pray, Lord, give us something tonight as well out of this passage that we can apply into our daily lives. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight, we come to the end of our journey through the book of 1 Samuel. As we look at the life of Samuel, in the opening chapters from chapter 1 to chapter 8, the rise and fall of Saul, in the middle of chapters 9 to 15, and then finally David and Saul together in these closing chapters. But isn't it interesting? I tell you what, I prepared what the Lord give to me to those messages that I've been teaching on with the Lord give me. But I think if we go back again and restart it, the Lord probably give us something different. But I tell you why, it's been a great journey. I learned quite a bit through this book. I believe you have too. So as and in the closing chapters, we have really been tracing the rise of David. Of course, right here, David continued to rise. And of course, 2 Samuel, we're going to see how he gets to the throne. But as right now, we saw him in battle last week. This week we see Saul here in battle, and what happens in the end. We see the fall of Saul right here. So Saul disobeyed God, and as a result, God took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David. So tonight, as we come to the final chapter of the book, we also come to the final chapter in Saul's life. You know, I think that sometimes, and we can learn something from Saul here. We can disobey God, and we can get away with it. I think the Lord let us get away with it for a season, but comes to a point the Lord would say, it's enough. And I think Saul is right here. I mean, how long Saul has been chasing David and go after him to kill him. And the Lord keeps spearing David. And Saul already knew that he was to give up the throne because David was the next king. But he refused to do so. So who will write your obituary when you die? You ever thought of that? More importantly, what it will say. We all want to end well, don't we? I think all of us want to win well. To be honest with you, I want to end serving the Lord. It's just me. I mean, I'm not saying to be a pastor until the moment I die. I don't know what the Lord is for me. But whatever capacity is, I want to finish well serving the Lord. That's what I want to do. I want to serve the Lord until He takes me home. If it's not here, it's there. If it's not there, it's there. Whatever it is. But I want to finish well. So, we want to finish. So we all want to end well. But we often work against it with a various choices that we make in our lives. So the life of David and Saul illustrates a very important principle in life. Live well, you die well. Live poorly, you die poorly. Ending well or ending poorly is a direct result of the choices you and I make. You agree with me on that? Yeah. You make poor choices, you're going to reap the consequences. You make good choices, you're going to reap blessing. That's life. That's the way it is. So, in a sense, you are writing your own obituary every day of your life. We see the way it ends right here. I mean, Saul started good, And we're going to see the way it ends. So now, this doesn't mean as believers that if you live well, you will never suffer. Well, you know, there's some people out there that try to promote that. You know, if you love Jesus, there's no pain. Life is always wonderful. Well, I know many Christians who suffer tremendously, and they love Jesus. It ain't the center of God's will, but the problems of life, the aches of life, they're all there. You and I, all of us, we have times, ups and downs of life, don't we? Doesn't mean that we don't love the Lord. We love the Lord. And sometimes we even ask, Lord, why? I am hurting. Why, Lord? I love you. I try to do the best I can for you. See, you will be remembered well in your life, in your life, and that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God appoints Saul as king, God gives Saul everything he needed to succeed. Same thing for us. I believe that the Lord gives each one of His children everything we need to succeed in life. Don't you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. He gives Saul everything he needed. We have God's Word. We have our brothers and sisters. We have God's house. We have everything we need to live in, joyfully and gratefully as we go through this journey of life. So we do have everything. I think the Lord gave us everything we need. So Saul was called to deliver the Israel. And let me go back here a little bit. I kind of went ahead of myself. God gives Saul everything he needed to succeed. But Saul consistently did things his way instead of God's way. He bypassed God in his life, and he reaped the consequences of his decisions. In today's passage, we come to Saul's bitter ends. It should never end this way. But his choice has caused him to end this way. So today's chapter tells us about the final battle between Saul and the Philistines. Saul was called to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And guess what? He dies by the hand of the Philistines. And now he dies in this battle. So Saul's death is the exact opposition of Paul's words in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 4:7, when it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. You see, Paul ended well. He fought the good fight. He knew he was in the end of his life, but he fought until the end. Circumstances were different. On the other hand, Saul follows on intuition, made his own decisions, didn't follow what God wanted him to do. You know what? And he died the way he died. So the text records the awful tragedy, the awful tragic death of King Saul and his three sons. Literally, it was not just a king, it was almost a whole part of the family. Three kids that died that day, plus Saul. And of course, the armies of Israel as well. So I believe that, I want tonight to examine these verses because I believe they contain an important message for each person here tonight. Let's look at from several points tonight, okay? Number one, the death of Saul was tragic. It was tragic. Why I say that the death of Saul was a tragedy? He didn't have to end the way he did if he walked and trusted the Lord. Same thing. Listen, we can live a life that glorifies God if we keep our eyes on the Lord and keep walking the way the Lord wants us to walk. Unfortunately, all of us make decisions and make choices. And unfortunately, some of us make poor choices. This man right here made a poor, poor choice. Saul's life ends poorly in many tragic circumstances surround his death. Let's look at verse 1. Look what it says. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down and slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab. And who is this guy's name here? And
Malchishua.
Thank you, brother. And Saul's son. Brother Thomas, now he's the one who helps me with all these names. Brother Thomas is watching me tonight. And the battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him. And he was so wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, and he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Well, here's one thing that I want you to know right here. Saul knew that he was going to die in that battle. What did he do? He went to see whom? Remember? A witch. That's right. He went to walk to see a witch. Something that he shouldn't be doing. It was forbidden in Israel, but he went and see it. Samuel told him, you're going to die in this battle. But you know what? One thing is, I applaud him in a way, because he didn't run away. He went to battle. But he knew he was not going to make it out of it. So the Philistines defeated Israel. Many Israelites were killed in that battle. His three sons were killed, including Jonathan, of course. There was David's best friend. Died in that battle. He was critically wounded, which means he was not going to survive this battle. It was a sad death. Do you see this in verse 3 and verse 4? The scene in the battlefield that day, the armies of Israel are put to shame before their enemies and badly defeated. The armies of the living God are defeated that day. The bodies of the wounded and the dead, it was like a landscape. King Saul, the powerful, handsome king, is struck with arrows and his enemies. Near the king lie the dead bodies of his three sons. Can you imagine that scene? Here's the king, wounded, and his three sons dead. And the armies of Israel all over the ground. Dead. You say, why? Why was that? Well, God was allowing to happen. Obviously. See, the new king, near the king lie the bodies of his three sons. We know that he cannot escape and that he cannot live. Saul seeks to help, the help from his armor bearer, but in ending his life, the man will now help the king. So Saul ends his own life by falling on his sword. A reign that begun so well ends in suicide after a tragic military defeat. What a tragedy. Didn't have to end that way. Didn't have to end that way. He started well. God called him to be a king in Israel. If he followed the Lord, he would end up doing well, but he did not. Folks, let me put it this way. So how can we apply this to our lives today? Same thing. We in battle every day. Aren't we? We the soldiers of the cross. We go to battle every day. We have three great enemies. Every day you wake up, they're right there. They're ready for war. And guess what? We need to stand up. Otherwise, if we try to make peace with the enemy, we're the one making the bad choice. We got to fight the good fight of faith. And in the end, like Paul said, I fought the good fight. But this guy right here, he was more consumed about getting rid of David than actually serving the Lord. And what happened here, of course, we see the tragedy. Get this, Saul is critically wounded, and rather than face the enemy, he tells his armor bearer to run him through with a sword. But just like David early, the armor bearer refused to take the life of God's anointed. It was something about here. He refuses to take the life of God's anointed, the king. See, when the armor bearer refuses, Saul falls on his own sword and takes his own life. When the armor bearer sees that Saul is dead, he falls on his own sword and dies with him. Isn't that interesting? What a tragedy right here. When Saul foolishly went to the witch, of course, God told Saul through Samuel that in 24 hours he was going to die. Actually, to be honest with you, I admire him. Why didn't he run from the battle? Some people, that's what they do. They run from trouble. Oh, I'm not going to die this, so I'm going to run another way. But he went to battle. And he knew. He was told that he was going to die. So once again, notice the contrast between David and Saul. In the previous chapter, David wins the battle against the Amalekites and rescues his family. Here Saul is defeated in battle and loses his family. Live well, you die well. Live poorly, and you will die poorly. Samuel lived poorly and he died tragically. Let it be. Samuel, I'm sorry. Saul, I said Samuel. I apologize for that. Letter B, we see it was a shameful death. Look at verse 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. And his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. While the death of Saul was sad, it was also shameful. Why was shameful? There are two reasons why I say this. It was shameful because of what happened. Look at verse 19. That's why it's shameful. And they cut off his head and strip off his armor and sent him to the land of the Philistine round about to publish it in the house of their idols. You see that? And among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body in the walls of Bethshem. You see? They put the king to shame. After his death, the body of Saul was desecrated by the enemies of Israel. He was beheaded and his head was sent from city to city as a symbol of Philistine victory. His body along with the bodies of the three sons were taken to Bethshan and nailed to the city walls. You see that? His three kids and the king, and of course the shame and the mockery that they make of Israel and his armies. Number two, it was shameful because it did not have to happen. It didn't have to happen. Saul's life didn't start like it is. He finished. 40 years early, Saul has been a handsome young man. He has been humble, brave, and obedient when he was first inaugurated as king. Listen, folks, it's the same thing. We need to be careful every day we live. I'll tell you what. I'm going to live by myself. Okay. I was in the world. I got saved at 32 years old. I know the world, but I got saved. I got excited. I got to live for the Lord. But as I live for the Lord now, it's been 20, almost 25 years. But as we live for the Lord, we have to be careful each and every day that we don't turn to where we came from. It is easy to do that. It is easy because our flesh that always wants to be appeased by the things of this world. We have to constantly be on guard and constantly be in war against those enemies. You see, Saul started right. He started the right way. But as time went by little, Saul began to walk away from the ways of the Lord. And folks, eyewitness of so many Christians have been that way. Slowly, gradually, and eventually you don't even recognize them anymore as Christians. It happens. When we allow the flesh to overtake us, see, when Saul died, he was only a short distance from Ramoth, where he had been crowned king 40 years early. Spiritually, however, it might as well have been, he might have been in another planet, so to speak. He was so far removed from God. Note this, the tragedy of Saul's death is that he did not have to happen like it did. God had a far better plan for his life, but he failed to live his life within the plan of God and pay a terrible price as a result. So sadly, we see the same thing happening to people around us. God desires to save us, to bless us, and to use us for his glory. Listen, I don't know how people say sometimes, oh, church is boring. I'm going to go there, sit and listen to somebody. If that's the mentality of people, they have no clue what they're talking about. We go to church to edify one another, right? To encourage each other. To praise the Lord together. To worship our God. That's what we come to church for. Then we go out there in the world and we go and live it. We're not Christians only when we come to church. We're Christians 24/7. There is a world to conquer out there. There is a world that needs the gospel. There is a world that needs us. So God desires to save us. Most of us here are saved tonight. And to bless us and use us for what? For His glory. All the things that we do, we should always keep in mind is for His glory. So when we witness to somebody, when we are kind to somebody, whatever we do, always keep in mind is for the Lord's glory. He gets glorified. So men, however, refuse to go God's way and they live lives of defeat and ultimately they die tragic deaths. It does not have to be that way. God has a better plan for the human race. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said this way. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. You know this verse. Of course you know. It's a very popular verse. But I want you to see it. John chapter 10 verse 10. And Jesus is very clear what he says right here. Look what he says. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they have it more and they might have it more abundantly. What Jesus is trying to say here, when you trust me, when you believe in me, when you live for me and you live in fellowship with me, you're going to experience life that you never experienced before. That's what he's trying to say to all of us here. See, Satan comes to do what he comes to do, to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus comes to give life, a life that we didn't have before. And when I don't know about you, but since I got saved, I look at life more differently than I ever did before I got saved. It has a different meaning for what we do. So it appears from this verse that we can either have the ministry of the thief or the ministry that of the good shepherd in our lives. So let's look. First of all, we see the death of Saul was tragic. Number two, the design of Saul is heartbreaking. The design of Saul is heartbreaking. Saul ends poorly, not only because he dies in a tragic circumstances, he also ends poorly because his life ends in dishonor. And if that of Saul is tragic, the design of Saul is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking because we have to feel pity for this guy. The Lord put him in a wonderful position to be the king of his people. And he wouldn't follow the Lord. So letter A, he failed to protect his people. Look at what it says in verse 7. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of Jordan, saw the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. You see, when you keep going that the way he did, he kept going this way. He was so consumed about getting rid of David that he forgot that he had an enemy in the other side of the border ready to overtake the nation. And that's what happens here. He failed to protect his people. Let me put it this way, folks. What is the job of a king? What is the job of a government? To protect his people. That's why we elect people to the high office for what? They will protect us. We want our government to protect us. That's why we elect those elected officials to protect. Same thing as the king. The king's job is to protect his people. He failed right here. First, he failed to protect his people. Verse 7. He failed to protect the citizens under his care. When the citizens of the border town see that Saul's army is defeated and that Saul and his sons are dead, they abandon their homes and they flee. But of course, they're afraid for their lives. And they give up the territory without even a fight. Listen, when the lead is down, guess what? People run in every direction. Saul's main job was as king was to protect the Israelites. He failed the main charge and his life ended in dishonor. Let it be. The desecration of the bodies. We already read these verses. But look at verse 8 and 9 again of our text. And it came to pass in the morrow when the Philistines came to strip and slain that they found Saul and his three sons falling in Gilboa. So we see here Saul experienced further dishonor with the desecration of his body and those of his sons. The next day when the Philistines found Saul and his sons among the dead, they desecrate the body. They cut off Saul's head. And they strip him to his arm. And later in the chapter, we learned that they also exposed the bodies of his sons. This was a great dishonor in that culture. Not to have a proper burial, but to have your body desecrated and exposed that way. Saul had hoped to avoid dishonor at the hands of the enemy by taking his own life, but his life still ends in dishonor. What a sad end for a king. He tried, but even after that, when they found him, let it see the defamation of the one true God. Look at verse 9. This is very interesting. Look at verse 9 and 10. And they cut off his head and strip off his armor and sent him to the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put the armor in the house of Ashtaroth and they fastened his body to the walls of Bethshan. So Saul's death not only results in the desecration of the body, also results in the defamation of the one true God. This is the worst dishonor of them all. Saul's death becomes an occasion for the defamation of God. The Philistines use the occasion to exalt their idols and false gods over the God of Israel. They use this opportunity to laugh and to mock about the God of Israel. So they send messengers throughout the land proclaiming victory in the temples of their idols. Their dead idols. They evoke their dead idols over the living God. You see, it's interesting here. See, Saul's head in the temple of Dagon and his arm in the temple of Ashtaroth. Finally, they hang Saul's body along with the body of his sons of the wall of Bethshan for all to see. What is the message and the meaning behind all these actions? The Philistines are saying, our idols won. Our gods are better than your God. Now, you and I know the Philistines' idols did not defeat God. You know that, right? It was not the Philistines' idols that defeat the armies of Israel. God allowed that to happen. God allowed that to happen. How long Saul was going to go the way he was going? He was going for a long time. And I'll tell you what, our God is so patient, isn't he? So merciful and compassionate. Even when the Lord told him to step down, it took many years before he actually stepped down. And he wouldn't step down unless the Lord would take his life away from him. Wow. So, it's amazing. So, they're celebrating their idols like that, like their idols defeated the living God. Saul lost because God was judging his house. That's why he lost. But to the whole world, it looked like the Philistine idols were stronger than God. And that is a shame in the true sense of the word. Because they saw differently, but we see it differently because we understand it. So we see this even today in our world. The world rejoices in the fall of a believer. When a believer falls into sin, we become a mockery in the eyes of the world. Do you ever heard that? Have experienced that? Even a Christian that is well known, or a Christian that is not well known, but when they fall into sin, guess what? The world rejoices. Oh, look at that Christian. They go, and the mockery comes along and the laughs and the jokes about it. But see, we don't live as Christians in the sight of defeat. We live in victory. And if we fall, we have a wonderful God to bring us up again. He is a God of first chance, second chance, third chance. He's a wonderful God. So, when a believer publicly falls, the world laughs at God and mocks the Christian faith. This is the greatest dishonor possible. May we always fear dishonoring the name of our Lord more than any personal dishonor we ourselves may experience. May we strive not to dishonor our Lord, the one we serve. So, number one, we see the death of Saul was tragic. Number two, the dishonor of Saul was heartbreaking. And number three, we see the testimony of Saul's death. While Saul's death is a terrible tragedy, he also shares a powerful testimony with those whose heart can hear it. Let's look at letter A. We see the reminder. Saul's death serves as a clear reminder that death is coming for all of us. All of us. Think about it. On the battlefield that day, who were there in that battlefield? Help me here tonight. Who was in that battlefield that day? The Philistines were there. The Israelites were there. Who else were there? The rich were there. The poor were there. They were all there. You know what? When death came, the Israelites died. The Philistines died. The rich died. The poor died. They all died. You know what happens? It's a reminder that we all going to die. Unless Jesus comes. They were all there. So they were all there. That the poor and the rich, the king and the slave, the godly man and the sinner, the Israelite and the Philistine, the weak and the powerful, all entered death all together that same day. This pitiful scene is tragic, but clear reminder that death plays no favors. Death plays no favors. When we call the grand hippocampus or whatever the name is, when death comes, it takes all of us. It's not just, wow, this person is better. No. And it is a way to say, like, only the good died and the ones that are not good. No, everybody dies and we all go in the same way. So the pitiful scene is tragic here, but clear reminder that death plays no favors. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime in the rapture, none of us are getting out of this world alive. I mean, you might try to make it to the moon, but still, you're going to die there. This is a clear teaching of Scripture. Everyone's life will come to an end. And the unsaved will meet the judge of the earth. The unsaved will meet the judge of the earth. They will meet their Creator. You see, many are the ones who honestly believe that they deserve heaven for the good things that they do. They are setting themselves, folks, for a big surprise. They think, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, I don't need God. Well, we all of us need God desperately. And in that battlefield was many people, the Philistines, they needed God as well. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14 says, For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither though God respected any person, yet though the device means that is banished is not expelled from him. And Job 14:5 it says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, his bonds, and he cannot pass. For I know that thou wilt bring me to that, and to the house appointed for all living. And Psalm 89:48 says, and with man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. So we may not like to think about it, and we may live like it will not happen, but death is coming for all of us. And some people live that way. They live like they will never die. Some people are not even afraid of dying. But death is coming. So death is coming, and you and I, well, is better be prepared. And I believe all of us here prepared to meet our Maker because He's our Savior. So an old legend tell of a merchant, interesting. There was this, I think I should have stood here before one time. And this man had a servant, and he told the servant to go to the city and to get to buy some goods that he needed. So the servant got to the city, and he saw debt. And debt looked at him, and he was afraid, and he ran back home. And he told his master, don't send me there, because debt was there waiting for me. Send me to this other city. I want to run away from debt as fast as I can. Could you give me a horse? And the master said to the servant, said, you get the horse and run to this other city. Well, the next day, the master went to the same city, and debt was there. And he approached that and said, this is just a story, okay? And he approached that and said to that, said, why you scared my servant away? He said, I didn't scare him away. I was just surprised he was here, because I'm going to meet him in the other city. And he named the city. Well, that's exactly what servant went. You know, what I'm trying to say here is, we all of us have an appointment with our Maker. We can run whenever we want to run, whatever we want to do. When that day comes, we will depart. We will depart. I mean, some people, exercise all day long. They eat. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me here. They eat all these healthy foods. I do too. But guess what? When the day comes, nothing matters. We're going to meet our Maker. Letter B, we see there is a reality in Saul's death here. The reality is this. We can either die badly like Saul, or we can die well. When life has been lived like the life of Saul, that is always a tragedy. How many times do we look at people? For an example.
I mean, don't you find yourself sometimes people that you know, or that you knew, like maybe family members, maybe neighbors, maybe co-workers, people that you knew, and you say, that person passes away, and you say, oh, wow, what a tragedy. You ever sat and you say, saying that? I said that many times. Oh, what a tragedy. Oh, what a wasted life. And we don't say that in a mean way at all. It even hurts us to say that. You know what? When we look at Saul and his life, the life that the way he started, and we look the way he died, then we say, what a tragedy. It is. When there was no repentance, but only the anguish of wasted years, that is a terrible and tragic event for people to die that way. We all know people who live in such lives and die in such debt. When they pass, we just shake our hands and say, oh mine, what a wasted life. It is never pleasant when debt comes for one who has not properly prepared for it. Even God does not desire the debt of a sinner. Even the Lord don't want nobody to die in their sin. They want everyone to come into repentance. On the other hand, when a saint of God has lived the right kind of life and that comes, it's not a tragedy, folks. Listen to me. It is a victory. When we live for the Lord and we say that, no, our mission is over on earth and God calls us home, it's not a tragedy, it's a victory. We go home. Isn't that wonderful? There's a Christian brother that told me this week, said to me, I am so ready to go home. This world has nothing to offer me. I said, brother, I understand what you're saying, but you have a purpose why you're here on earth. You have a purpose why God wants you here. Why don't you ask the Lord to show you that purpose? I understand we're better home. Actually, go to Psalm chapter 116 for a second. I want you to see in verse 15. I want you to see something there. Because, I mean, see the way the Lord sees us and when we pass from this life and we live for the Lord each and every day. Look what it says there. Psalm 116 verse 15. Precious. See that word? That's a beautiful word. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the debt of his saints. What a great verse of comfort, isn't it? What a great verse of comfort. And look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which died in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works to follow them. I tell you what, heaven is a wonderful place to go, but I tell you what, when a saint passes from this life, goes to the next life, I tell you what, it is a victory, not a defeat. When the precious saints of God breathe their last breath on this part of this on this part of eternity, they merrily go home to be with the Lord Jesus and in His presence. What a wonderful day that will be! What a contrast between the death of the sinner and the death of a saint. Listen, I come from a denomination on which saints are the ones that we see in the walls, you know, and we bow down and pray to them. And the Bible calls those who are saved saints. Have you given any thought on how you want to die? This is how I want to die. I don't know how you want to die, but this is how I want to die, serving my Savior. This is how I want to die. I don't know how I'm going to serve Him. I will continue to serve Him however He leads me. But this is how I want to die. Serving the Lord. I want to live here faithfully serving Jesus until He calls me home. And I believe that's your desire, my desire. I believe it's everybody's desire tonight. I can see by your faithfulness. Week after week after week, I see in all of us here tonight, and some of those that are on social media tonight, they can't be here tonight. I can see it, the faithfulness of God's people. They want to serve the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to serve the Lord? What a wonderful thing is to serve God. We come here with one purpose, serve Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's our purpose. We come here to serve Jesus. I mean, we encourage each other. We serve each other. It's wonderful. We make friendships. It's great, but ultimately, this is our purpose, is to serve Jesus. We try to reach those who are lost, why? In the name of Jesus. So I want to to leave here with my spiritual boots on, doing His work, accomplishing His will, and preaching His saving grace. And as long as He allows me to. So number four, point number four, the people of Jabesh Gilead encouraging actions. I tell you folks, it is good to be an encouragement to others. It is good to be an encouragement to others. People need to be encouraged. Let me put it this way. Okay. We all go to battle when we leave church. We hear it together, right? And those who work in the world, and then wherever you go, you get out of bed. Let's say, okay, let's put it this way. You get out of here, you go home. You get up in tomorrow morning, let's say, you go to the store, or you go to work, whatever you do, you're going to know that you're going to find yourself by yourself, so I'm the only Christian here. You're in a battle. And what do we need? We need to encourage each other. It's a good word. So we can keep on going. So we see the encouragement of the people of Jabesh Gilead by their actions here. So Saul's death is tragic. We know that. Saul's also dishonoring and heartbreaking. But fortunately, this terrible sad story ends up somehow in a better note. We end the story now with the death of a dishonored Saul, but with the actions of the people of Jabesh Gilead, actions which are truly inspiring. I think they're an encouragement to us. So let's look at this. Letter A, they act bravely. Look at verse 11 to verse 13. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard that which the Philistines had done to Saul, and all the violent men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son from the walls of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. You see, somebody had the courage enough to go to the enemy territory and take the bodies of those people. That's actually a courageous act. Who would do that? They did. When the people of Jabesh heard that the Philistines did to Saul, they traveled through the night and they recovered his body along with his sons. This was a difficult journey, of course, full of danger. Bethshan was about, I believe, for my studies, about 15 miles away. I don't know, brother, if you agree with that. From where they were, about 15 miles away. That's what I got in my studies. From where they were, from Jabesh Gilead to Bethshan. It says in my studies about 15 miles away. So I don't know. I've never been in that land, so I don't know. So they had to cross the Jordan River by night. They had to sneak across enemy territory to reach Bethshan. See, they... But the thing is, why did they do this? Well, by doing that, they encouraged the children of Israel as well, those who stayed home, that somebody had the courage enough to go get the bodies of those people. I'll tell you what. I remember, maybe we should do this sometime here. At First Baptist Church, many years ago, we used to go have groups that we used to go out on visitation. And the pastor's wife came out with little clappers. Little clappers. You remember that, right? Little clappers. So we used to go out in twos, of course. And, of course, it was a big church. There was a lot of people that used to go out on visitation. And we would wait for everybody. Of course, everybody had a story to tell. Some people went and they were a little discouraged because they couldn't get anybody. Others, you know, got to talk with people. But every story that we did, whatever story it was, we would clap. And we would praise the Lord. You know what the purpose was that? For encouraging one another. It's like, hey, those doors were closed today, but next week they might be open. So just keep on going. So we'll clap for each other. And we, of course, in the next day, on Sunday, we made a big thing in the church. The pastor, we make a big thing about all the stories. Because he used to go out too. So he heard all these stories. But I think these people's actions, from what we see, I mean, they went to enemy territory. But the encouragement to other people that knew that they went there. Because, of course, it's a dangerous thing to do. So they had to get the bodies down from the walls without alerting any of the guards, and that they still had to make their way all the way back to Jabesh, this time along with the bodies. When they returned to Jabesh, they burned the desecrated bodies, and so they could give Saul and his sons a proper burial. They buried the bones on the there, and after they took them from that city. So let's look at letter B. They had a debt to repay. We see this back in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 11. So you might wonder why the people of Jabesh Gilead would do all this, would risk their lives to go get these dead bodies out of enemy territory. Well, in doing this, they actually repay in a debt to Saul. Saul had rescued them from the enemy when he first became king, before he turned away from the Lord. If you go all the way back to, like I say, 1 Samuel chapter 11, you find the story of Saul rescuing the people of Jabesh Gilead from the Amorites. It was Saul's first official act as king, and as a result, Saul consolidated all the people of Israel around him. He also earned the loyalty and devotion of the people of Gilead, Jabesh Gilead, for life. These people never forgot what was done to them, and one day they heard the news about Saul, they felt compelled to go and help. Folks, I tell you what, it's always good to do good. You got that? It's always good to do good, because someday we might be in need, and the people that we helped, when they find out that we are in need, they might come and say, "Now it's my turn to help you." You follow that? It's always good to do good to others. Not by mistake, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive, isn't it? Saul began his rule as king by rescuing these people. So the people of Jabesh Gilead retrieved the bodies of Saul and his sons at great risk to themselves, because they were repaying the debt here. So let us see, their kindness and loyalty. So David became a king shortly after this, and when David learns what the people of Jabesh Gilead did to Saul, David showed them favor for their kindness and loyalty. Peeking ahead now to the book of 2 Samuel, which we're going to start next week, Lord willing. Look at there. Let me read verse 40 of chapter 2. It says, "And the men of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they took David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And Saul sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Bless ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will require you this kindness, because ye have done this thing." You see that? Kindness goes a long way, folks. Kindness goes a long way. It is good to be kind and to do good acts of kindness towards other people, because we never know how we are or what happens in the future. And these people right here, Saul helped them in the beginning when he was just beginning to be a king. And of course, he moved way away from the ways of the Lord. But when he died, those people never forgot what he did to them, or he did for them. I tell you, folks, I'm 55 years old, and through the years, I know the people, I remember the people that did all acts of kindness for me. If I can help them, I go help them. Because at that time, when those they helped me, or they came with words and actions and things of kindness, it blessed my heart. And you know what? If you hear, then you're going back and do it, because you never forget. Aren't you thankful for people that have been nice to you, kind to you? There's all kinds of news. Of course we are. All of us are. So their kindness and loyalty right here. See, later on, David will take the bones of Saul and Jonathan and bury them. But David expressed his thankfulness as well for these men right here, of what they have done for the king. I conclude with this. I would like to close out this message and the whole book of 1 Samuel with three applications here. I don't think this is on your outline, but I'm going to just share with you. First of all, the importance of choices. Your choices and my choices are important. We make choices every day. Every day we either choose life or choose death. When you choose God and God's way, you are choosing life. When you choose sin or self over God, you are choosing the ways of death. Your choice are important. Our choices are important. Secondly, the consequences of your choices. Your choices and my choices have consequences. Everything we do have consequences. We reap, the Bible says, what we sow. Every day, we reap what we sow. Sometimes we don't want to think that way. You know, I put it like this. We are masters of justifying. Follow that? We are masters of justifying. All right, somebody did something wrong and they began to justify in their mind why it's okay. And they keep doing it and they're doing it until they get caught. We are masters. I mean, that's the human mind, so the prave of sin. But I tell you what, we reap, the Bible's clear, we reap what we sow. Every life is made up of years, which are made up of months, which are made up of days, which are made up of hours, which are made up of choices. Each choice may seem small at the time, but those thousands of choices you make each and every day add up your life, and they help determine whether you will end well or end poorly, whether your life will bring honor to God or dishonor. Folks, this is for me, for you, for all of us. We either live for the Lord or we live for ourselves. We make our choices to live and reap blessings, or we make our choices to live and bring consequences upon our life. Thirdly, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. You can sum up the rise and fall of Saul and the rise of David as king in three verses from the whole book of 1 Samuel. In each case, the rise or fall of David and Saul was occasionally by the coming and the parting of the Spirit of God. All this shows how much we need, folks, the Spirit of God to guide us. I put it this way. All of us here, who are saved, have the Holy Spirit. He resides in us. He's there for a purpose. What is his purpose? To teach us. Teach us what? The ways of the Lord. To guide us. To guide us in what? In the ways of the Lord. Everything about the Holy Spirit is to make us or to live a life that honors God. So we need to die to self every day and live for God. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to live in us. He's already in us, but to live through us. We need to allow Him to change our mind and to guide these hands of ours, these legs of ours, and this brain that we have, so we can finish well for the Lord. So ending well or ending poorly is a direct result, like I said, of the choices you and I make in life. And the most important choice you can make is to trust Jesus. Is to trust Jesus. We have to take Jesus at full face value, I mean literally, at His word, and believe that this word can guide us. Listen, we can read this word all day long and don't trust that the Lord can bless us and guide us. It's up to us. We make that choice to say, "Oh, it was a good Bible passage," and that's how far we go. But if we read and say, before you even read, we say, "Lord, please teach me as I read your word because I want to live it." What a difference. Because now we read with a purpose. We want guidance. And the Holy Spirit would guide us right through his word. So, everything else hangs on one choice. Your death will either be either a bitter end or a beautiful beginning. It all depends on whether you are trusting Jesus. Of course, first of all, we need to trust Jesus, our Savior. But also, if we trust Jesus to guide us through life Every day you are writing the ending of your story. I said this before. I like to use the illustration. Every day we have, it's like an open book. We are writing our lives in a book, page by page. And one day, the end. It's over. No more to write. But again, if we finish well, and if we finish like Saul, it's up to you and me. I cannot make your choices. You cannot make my choices. You get that? You make your own choices. I make my own choices. But either way, which choices are we making? See, David made good choices. Did he make mistakes? Plenty of them. But his heart was after God. Saul was the opposite. See, Saul went to look for a witch. See what he was going to do. Why didn't he look for God? You see, the same thing here with us. How we end depends on the choices that we make. Listen, I'm not talking about salvation here. Don't misunderstand me here, okay? If you saved, you're going to heaven. All right? I'm talking about the choices that we make in life and how we finish life. Let's be like Paul. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. That's the way we should end life. So when people look at our name, it's like that person right there, it was a faithful follower of Jesus. Isn't that good to leave behind that stuff? That person was a faithful follower of Jesus. He loved Jesus or she loved Jesus. Whoever is that person? The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? Did he make mistakes? Did he sin against God? Yeah. It's in the Bible for us to read and study. But his heart was with God. Same thing for us. Folks, we will fall. We will make mistakes. But if our heart is after God, we can ask the Lord to forgive us. And the Bible says He will forgive us. So we don't have to go to die in like Saul. We can die well. How we die well? Serving the Lord each and every day. Every day serving God. I hope that's your desire. It is mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord. Lord, Saul could have finished well, but he didn't. He made his own choices. And Father, all of us here, and even those people on social media tonight, but each person here, we're all making choices. And Lord, help us to make choices that are honorable to you so we can finish well. Lord, each one of us have to make our own choices. Please help us, Lord. Guide us. Help us to use your word so we can make the right choices and be a blessing to others and to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.